Amen. It's good to be here. Of course, I've been here all week, but it's good to be here today because I believe we're on schedule, God's time. Deuteronomy chapter 30, or chapter 5, verse 32 and 33. Galatians chapter 5, we want to read verses 1 and then verses 13 through verse 16. Bring a message that God's laid on a heart. I don't claim all the originality for any message, but we get them from Paul or someone else. But this is a message that God has worked in my life, that I've been through some things. And, you know, sometimes you wonder why you have to go through some things. But I found out that the only way you can help somebody is to say, well, let me tell you how God brought me through it. Let me tell you how God, what God done for me and how God brought me through it. You know, you heard about the preacher that one day the woman said, come out the door, said, well, said, preacher, you just don't know how bad of problems I'm in or what I've been through. And he started shouting and shouted. And she said, preacher, I told you, you don't understand what all I've been through. And he shouted again. And then she said something else to him. And he said, but thank God you're through it. Amen. So thank God we're through it. Amen. That particular thing. I mean, there'll be other things down the road, but God wants to test us and will test us to use this. I thank God for Camp Zion and what it's meant in my life. Thank God for Brother Ray. We preached last Sunday morning in the church on lost heritage. And you know, we dealt with the fact of daddies and mamas giving a heritage to their children, and really to a degree that's kind of been the theme of the camp, giving them something besides land and inheritance of physical things, but giving them an inheritance of the spiritual things that he might receive honor and glory. Amen. As I said the other day, my dad and mom, they were good to me and they were great, and I'm not belittling them, but they didn't give me the spiritual inheritance that I needed. But I told Brother Ray later, I said, I guess I really, when you think of it, I got my inheritance or my heritage from him. Amen. He's my spiritual dad, I guess, in some sense of the word. Many of you are the same way, and I thank God for you. And you know what I'm saying. God led us to Camp Zion, and because of it, I got lost, then I got saved. No man gets saved till he gets lost. Amen. Now that's used to bother me when people said that. It didn't bother me too much from asking when I got saved. I had a time and a place of a decision. But whenever somebody say, when did you get lost? Man, I couldn't take that. Amen. But today we have a message on our heart. You pray for us. God will give us wisdom in this message. It's something we need. You pray and you listen and take, just let God speak to your heart. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 and 3, then Galatians chapter 5, 1, verse 1 and 13 through 16. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word this afternoon. Let you stretch just a little. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Then Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then verse 13 through 16. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love the Lord, love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as I bow this day in your presence, I need your presence and your power upon us with unction and boldness to stand and say what needs to be said at this time. I thank God that you're on schedule, Lord, for the message that you have on our hearts. And I pray that you'd take complete control of this entire congregation, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand, and receive everything you have for us. So, oh God, put a hedge around this place. Remove every satanic power and demon force today, that you may be uplifted and exalted and draw all men unto you. Lord, do a work. Move through in your mighty power this day, that souls be saved and saved be stirred and revived, and many saints of God that's hurting and have needs that they can go home on fire for you, God. Lord, not because of any man or any preacher or anybody here, but because of the blessed Son of God. Oh, God, do what's needed today, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this afternoon on the subject, Stay Out of the Ditch. Stay out of the ditch. Now, I can preach this because I've been there. Amen? You know, I remember back in the olden days, and I'm not all that old, but I can remember the time, you know, in the days, and Dad used to get the old ton truck out, and I'd take the truck, and we had muddy ruts in the old gravel road, and I can remember a certain place we always had, and the ground would kind of freeze and thaw and get muddy, but every car basically had the same width tread in those days. I mean, I'm talking about the days before you rode in a rabbit. Amen? Talking about the days before you rode, when you rode on a pinto instead of in one. I'm talking about the days when most of the tread was the same width, except our old ton truck, and the wheels was apart, it was a little wider, and it'd want to jump and make a dido, and my dad would say, in essence, stay out of the ditch, son. When you go over there, you better be careful or you're getting a ditch. And you know, as you think about that sometimes and analyze the road, there is ditches on either side of most roads in the physical situation. Now, Deuteronomy says, he said, stay in the road, in essence, if you'll read it. He said, walk the line, don't veer to the right or the left, that it may be well with you. Now, I know we're living in a time that today we call a lot of people who are in the middle of the road, it won't take an issue or won't stand on an issue, won't take sides, so as to say. We say they're compromisers, and I know in one sense of the word, they are compromisers. We call the politicians compromisers, and we talk about them being in the middle of the road. But I want you to put that out of your mind today, because that's not what I want to deal with. I want to deal with the fact that there's ditches on both sides of the road, and we need to stay out of those ditches. Now, in those ditches, you think about what's in a ditch on a road. Just think about a physical road. First of all, in a ditch on a road, I'm thinking about all the old Coca-Cola bottles that's been thrown in there, and they are usually broken, and there's grass in those ditches. Amen? There's snakes. There's spiders. And if you get in a ditch in a vehicle, there's usually a lot of mud slinging. Amen? I mean, you put that thing up in a second, and you put the pedal to the metal, and you... and away you go. And if you're not careful, if you can get enough power to get out of that ditch in the middle of the road, I think I got a road here, eh? And you're over in the right ditch, and you get enough power to come out, before you know it, you'll slip and slide, and if you're not careful, you'll wind up in the ditch on the left side of the road, amen? You'll wind up in the ditch on the other side. And so I want to take that illustration, and I want to think about that, and I want you just to analyze it, and deal with this spiritually today, and see that there's ditches on either side of the road. And I say today that we need to stay out of the ditch. Amen? You say, well, what's the ditches? I'm going to give them to you. Just wait a little bit, all right? First of all, on the right side of the road, I'm going to use it on the right side and call this ditch a ditch of liberalism. A ditch of liberalism. Man can get in the ditch of liberalism, religiously speaking, or in our Baptist churches today, forget about the rest of them out there, if you're not careful, you may be in one today and not even know it, and God opens your eyes and lets you see it, and you can get out of it. And I'll tell you more about that later, but the thing about it, that ditch, in that ditch of liberalism, that is motivated by lust. Now, if we think about lust, you know what lust is, but let's go over this unbridled desire is one definition of it. It's unlawful or longing for what is forbidden. But just turning yourself loose, as the old expression is, about the horse, and letting him have his head and go wherever he wants to go, when he wants to go. I tell you, if you ever been on a horse with a bridle off of him, you're in danger. I remember being in college one time. When I was in college, I had a registered quarter horse stud that was very dangerous, and he was sort of self-broken. And I was about the only one that could ride him, but before I could ever ride him, I had to get on him in the pen in a tight, confining place and warm him up before I could get out on the road. When I was in college, the only place I could find to put the horse was in a little building that had a low shed. And in that shed, I would have to get on him and more or less duck my head and ride back and forth for just about 20 or 30 feet, just back and forth for about 10 or 15 minutes before I could get him outside, because he'd run off with me. He was not fully broken yet. But one day in there, I got in on that horse, and you know what happened? We was back and forth, and he was a-snorting and throwing his head a little bit. He really wasn't bucking, but he was cold. And all at once, one of those reins of that hackamore that I used, sort of like a bridle, came over on the other side, and there I was with both reins on the same side of the horse's neck. And basically, he could have done just about what he wanted to do. So I said, I've got to get off if he books that. Right there's the rafters, and that won't work. So immediately, whenever we made a turn on the end, I hit the dirt and laid down just as close as I could to the ground and whacked his feet, both of them, hit the wall right over my back. You see, you get on an unbridled horse, you're headed for hurt. Amen? You're headed for hurt. And that's what this is on this side of the road, a ditch of liberalism, a ditch of unbridled desire. It's motivated by lust. Lust is also a disease condition of the soul. In other words, being liberal, state of being liberal, broad-minded. Oh, you ever heard anybody say, well, what preacher, why don't you be broad-minded? Some of them say, well, you're just so narrow-minded and that can sit on the bridge of your nose and kick you in the eyes at both times, and that may be good and that could be bad. Amen? And you'll understand later. But the thing about it is, we don't need to get to be broad-minded. You know, we talk about this ditch over here, and we say, well, that's the gray area. A lot of people talk about it. So hold on to it, brother. They say, oh, I know. I had a man one day, and he's telling me, he said, well, I've been taught that there was either black or white, but he said, I know you don't believe that, but I believe there's a gray area. You know what? That man was confessing, I'm in the ditch of liberalism, and I want to do what I want to do. If it feels good, do it. I don't look at things like you do, preacher. I don't think that this or that is wrong, and I just enjoy where I'm at. Kind of like the Gnostics. In essence, the Gnostics who are the know-it-alls, I mean, as far as religion is concerned, they had an intellectual knowledge. They say that the spirit is good and the flesh is evil. The spirit can't sin and the flesh can't help but sin, so they just turn loose and let go and operate in this lust in the ditch, and they get in there and they don't even know how deep. Back and forth, deeper and deeper in the ditch. I know I grew up in that in the church when I was a boy, when I made a profession of faith, a ditch of liberalism, being there not knowing how it was, but one day I realized of being tired of that, and in essence I put the pedal to the metal, amen, and throw it up in second gear and come out of that ditch. But before I knew it, I'd done lost control of the vehicle, spiritually speaking, and wound up in the ditch on the other side of the road. You know what this ditch on this side of the road is called? This ditch is called legalism, amen? Legalism, amen? Now, legalism is a strict adherence to the, in essence, the law. Not necessarily that we go back to the old law in this legalistic ditch, but we go to rules and regulations. We've got everything all set, just how it's going to be, how it's going to turn out, how it's going to start, and everything about it. But it's strict adherence to rules and regulations. Now, this ditch is motivated by lust. This ditch, motivated by law. Amen? Example is the Pharisees, as the dear brother said here. The Pharisees were those who were motivated by that law. They followed the law, but they missed what the law really revealed. You see, the law was only designed to bring condemnation and death. We can't live up to the law. It was a pedagogue, a schoolmaster, a child leader to bring us to him who kept the law. Amen? But you see, that morning in the ditch, we have a bunch of do's and don'ts. And listen, it's prominent in our Baptist churches. One of these others, if you realize, is prominent in your church, if you're not careful, either legalism or liberalism or legalism. A bunch of do's and don'ts. I don't do this. I do this. I follow these rules and I follow these regulations and I'm going to follow all along. Did you know when a man is under regulation and rules, he has no joy? Because in this ditch it brings death. It brings condemnation. How many times have young people come to this altar this week because they said, well, my preacher thinks I ought to do this, and my preacher thinks I ought to do that, and they're preaching, don't do this and do this, and there's nothing necessarily wrong in this. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to get us to see a principle and get it in order. But they say, I have this guilt about that. I've got to get it off of me. What happens is, in a ditch of legalism with rules and regulations, it'll bring condemnation, it'll cause joy to be gone, and it'll bring death. Not only to the individual, but to the church. You ever seen churches die that get into legalism? If you hadn't, I can show you some. Amen.
Because they said they used to shout the victory, but they got more legalistic. I know, because I was there. I can tell you with fact, because I was there, deep down inside, running back and forth like a four-wheel drive truck. I mean, zitting, 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 throwing mud, amen. You get in the ditch and go to spinning around a little bit, and either one of them, you're liable to get a tar on one of them piece of broken glass. And you know what happens when a spinning tar gets on a piece of broken glass? Liable to have a blowout. Amen? Now, you put this all together after a while if you'll just let God do it in you. Amen? But you know, just back and forth, don't do this. And I just can't make sure. I've got to read my Bible more. I've got to pray more, because that's what the preacher said. That's what's been told. And that's right, in essence. I mean, that's what we need to do. But we're doing it out of a sense of law, out of a sense of legalism. It's motivated by that law, and it winds up killing us. We get dead, and the church dries up for some 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. I'm trying to help us today, because I know there's some here who are in one of these ditches other than they, and you need to go back, not in the ditch of liberalism, not in the ditch on the other side, but there's the middle of the road, and he said, don't veer to the right or veer to the left, that it may be well with you. Get in the middle of the road and go forward for God. You say, what's that? Liberty. Liberty, not motivated by lust, not motivated by law, but motivated by love for Him. Amen? You think about it a minute. Motivated by love. You see in our text, it said there in verse number 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Paul was quoting from Mark chapter number 12, verse 28 through 31, part of that. You see, this is the one word that sums it up. Mark chapter number 12, verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Loving Him rightly. Liberty. Now you say, preacher, are you condemning some of the things that's being taught in the ditch? No. Many of the things that's taught in this ditch that was motivated by law may be right. And they may be right in every way, but the thing about it, the attitude about it in which we do it is not right. You can take a church, and I know as being a pastor at one time, I mean, man, the people gave up their TVs, they gave up their shorts, they walked right, they dressed right, they stood white. Amen? I mean, they've done it all right. But you know what? Whenever they had a chance and they finally come out of that ditch, you know what? They wound up back over in the other ditch instead of in the middle of the road. Because, the condemnation and the guilt over here, I can't stand it. But, that we may get in the middle of the road and love Him rightly. Folks, when I grew up, I was like every other boy. Young people, I know where you're at. I'm not that old. Amen. I'm still young at heart. But yet I know where you're at, and I know some of the things you face being dealing with young people the past few years. But I want to tell you, many of the things I didn't do when I was young wasn't because of my love for Him, but because my love for Mom and Daddy. And I didn't want to hurt them. Now, I want to tell you, being married, I love my wife today. And many times back in our early married life, many of the things I didn't do wasn't because of my love for Jesus, because I was lost. But because of my love for my wife, and I said I don't want to hurt her. If we ever rightly fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and love Him supremely and love Him divinely, I'll tell you, you'll not want to do some of these things that's in this ditch. You'll not want to do some of these things that's in this ditch because I love Him and I don't want to hurt Him. You know who I'm talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, as I said the other day, and many of you already know, I went through a time in my early life in the ditch of liberalism. God began to move on me and convict me, and even though I didn't understand all about it, I came out of that ditch and And gradually, while crossing across the road, I guess to a degree there was a sense in some ways, in some areas, being in the middle of the road while I crossed over. But I wound up in this ditch over here, wanting to do more. Why? Because there was not the satisfaction of reaching the goal that we needed to have because of the guilt and condemnation of rules and regulations. So we'd do more, and do more, and get involved more. But yet, all that time, we begin to preach harder and harder in a legalistic manner because we didn't love Him. And there came a time in my life after July of 1981 when after I got saved, there was a turmoil in my life all the way up till January of this year. And I went back and one day a preacher told me, and I know I've shared this with you before, but many of you have not heard, but there was a time in my life or a period of time there, it seemed that just like God had led the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 28 said, through the wilderness, God dealt with my pride, to let me see myself as I really was. And you see, when a man's in a ditch, he doesn't even know it many times. You see, there's a fine line between liberty and legalism. Very fine. And then God began to deal with not only my pride, but seemed like for a definite period of time, He began to deal with my sin and let me see how or what I was really capable of, and it's frightening. You see, you can be saved and got the same capability to do anything even a lost man has, but you can't habitually practice it and enjoy it. Then after that, I came to that third stage in that thing of Deuteronomy 28, when God began to deal with me about my priorities, getting my priorities straight. And folks, I want to tell you, that's not easy. Because you say, well, what is the number one priority? And you begin to list them out. Like a missionary said one day, somebody asked the missionary who's going to foreign soil, he said, sir, would you say the number one priority would be for you to go to foreign soil that you had a love for lost souls? And he thought a minute, and he says, no. Boy, that's shocking, isn't it? And he asked him, said, would you believe that the number one priority for you to go to a foreign soil would be that you had a love for that country as far as the culture and things of that nature? And he said, no. Would you say it was a love for the Word? And he said, no. He said, I need to go because of my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I love Him, I love souls. If I love Him, I love the place He's put me. If I love Him, I love His Word. If I love Him, I want to do right and act right and live for Him. That's the number one priority. And folks, it took me 3.5 years or almost 4 years before I come to the place to realize it's to uplift Him. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And I know in the Bible when that was spoken, it was talking about His death so that the people may realize He died for them, was buried for them, for their sins, according to the Scripture, and rose again the third day. The gospel, in essence. Amen. But oh, many have never heard, and we need to lift Him up by our life and by our lip. And if our life is not portraying Him, you just might as well to hush up in your lip. Because they can't hear what we're saying for seeing what we're doing. But if we love Him, we'll want to be with Him. We'll want to do, and that's liberty in the middle of the road. Now, I'm not going to deal in a lot of things. You see, the Holy Spirit of God can zero in on your case. But I'm going to deal with a few. Some of them a little more in depth than others. I'm talking about the ditch on either side of the road. First of all, let's just deal with sins in general now, all right? Just sins, plural. Not talking about the sin of unbelief that sends a man to hell, but I'm talking about sins that causes one to reject and unbelieve. Amen? Have no belief. In the ditch of liberalism over here, motivated by lust, we find here what's happened. What's about sin? Feels good, do it. Matters not. They don't preach about sins against anything. You say, all they want to preach is the love of God, and it's been said so much this week. Yes, we need to preach the love of God, but sins need to be lifted up to let a man know where he's at. But many times in this side, that it's got love, 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 and it's really lust. Motivated by lust. But they burn on the other side, and when you talk about sins in general, it becomes, over in the ditch of legalism, it becomes sometimes that these sins in general, the do's and the don'ts and the regulation that's motivated by that law, many times causes individuals to go out and think that those sins are an end within themselves. And you understand what I'm saying. I've heard, and I know it's been told on me. Somebody said,
Woman said, well,
he thinks if you, woman, wears pantsuits, you're going to hell. If you smoke a cigarette, you're going to hell. You know why they said that? In being in legalism and standing on do's and don'ts and regulation, they got the idea that there was an end, or that sin was an end in itself. But oh, when we pull up in the middle of the road, we can preach of the love of God. We can preach against the things that Paul talks about and sins in general. Why? Because these sins are a means to an end. They cause one to reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cause one not to believe in Him. So therefore, we need to get in the middle of the road. Stay out of the ditch of liberalism as far as sins is concerned. Stay out of the ditch of legalism as far as sins are concerned. But oh, what about, let's get a little more specific now in one. Think about that of dress. Just plain old dressing. How you ought to dress, men and women. Amen? You know, this crowd over here says, I'll wear what I want to wear. I don't care what the preacher said. Usually they're saying, I means I won't wear what I need to wear. They're really talking about having nothing on a lot of times. Amen? They just live like the devil, look like the world. When God said, don't love the world, but they said, well, it's gray area. I don't see nothing wrong with it, preacher. I'll just dress the way I want to dress. Lust is motivating in that area. But the preacher gets on this other side, and this one over here said, bless God, and I'm not trying to use that in the wrong way. I'm trying to say that's what most of them say. Amen. And I'm not saying you say that. That's because you're over here. Amen. Bless God if you wear shorts and mini skirts and split skirts and this thing and that thing. And amen. And you get the idea that's an end in itself. And you say, well, I can't live up to it. I hadn't reached that yet. And so you say, here, I'm going to lay them on the altar. But nothing's ever happened on the inside, and not because you love Him did you do it, but you did it because it was preacher said it, or because someone said it, which may be a good thing. You did it for mom or daddy, but when you get out from the preacher, you live like you want to. You back over in the ditch over here on the other side of liberalism, and you say, well, I'm do what I want to when I want to. But oh, in the middle of the road, in this thing of liberty, motivated by love for Him, we can say what Timothy said. Said men lift up holy hands, and it said for women to address themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. You know what that means? It means the Spirit of God lives in you, and because He lives in you, you say, I don't want to dress immodest. You know, I believe there's some ladies in here that you went in and tried on some of these new fangled outfits that they've got in the stores that showed the form of your body that God never intended for to be formed, to shown. Even if you tried it on in the dressing room and you looked down and it was cut too low, or you looked down and it was cut too high, or it showed what it ought not to show in the mirror, I believe that because the Spirit of God on there inside would said would cause you to blush. Shamefacedness. Not necessarily even in front of anybody else, but because the Lord's in that dressing room with you. And you say, honey, I don't want that. Honey, I don't want that or want it in you men. I'll tell you the same thing about exposing your hairy chest and whatnot. Oh, you say you're getting legalistic. No, I'm trying to get us to see there is a fine line that we need to dress modest apparel with shamefacedness. No, when we get Him on the inside, and we say, Lord, I don't want to hurt you. Don't want to hurt you. And when I do wrong, immediately, He can hit me. Amen. Inside. With that conviction about it. And immediately you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You know what? It's not always the big things that bother me the most now. Used to be bigger. Now my attitude can just get wrong. Amen? Yeah. Say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't say that like I ought to said. I didn't have the right attitude inside. And you may not even know about it. I might be grinning all the time. Amen? God knew. But you see, we're talking about staying out of the ditch. I'm not going to get out of individual sin. I'm just going to mention some of these and hit them lightly. Some people get in a ditch about the Spirit of God. Get over in the liberalism side. Now, I don't know exactly how all this could come in, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen? But did you notice many people get in the ditch on the other side and deny the fact that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit even exist? Why? Because they saw some in the ditch on the other side that wanted to put Him in a little package and say, well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, or if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got to speak in a gibberish. They don't say that, but that's what they mean, amen. Or in an unknown tongue, and they box Him up in a little shouter. That one over there said, we don't need to shout. And this one over here said, you got to shout. You got the Holy Spirit. Why don't you get that thing up in the middle of the road and realize the Holy Spirit of God is who lives inside you that lifts up Him. That lifts up Him. Amen. If He says shout, you can shout. Amen. He'll lead you in all things. You know, that's one of the reasons for this camp. One of the reasons is to have a better understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. You say, well, I heard some things at Camp Zion I don't agree with. If you're saved, God let it happen for a purpose. That's what it's for. If you had the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, and He said, amen, the truth. But there's something knocks up on the inside of you when truth's not preached. Amen. And it knocks up. And therefore, you say, well, what do you mean? I'm talking about getting in the middle of the road with the Spirit of God leading you in the truth. He'll guide you into all truth. He wrote the book. Somebody said, well, you don't have no Hebrew and Greek. Don't matter whether we know Hebrew or Greek or not. You know that no God, you've got the Holy Spirit. He wrote the book. Don't you think He'll say amen? Amen? Amen, church? And therefore, a lot of times some things happen that you don't understand. And if, listen, it's just to see where you're at. And if you can shout over untruth, then it lets everybody else know that he or she needs something. Amen? Amen? But oh, when untruth is there, the Spirit of God lives on the inside and you get in the middle of the road. And there's something not up inside and said, not right. Not right. Not right. It's what this camp's for. Amen? What this camp's for. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help us to get in the middle of the road, to stay out of the ditch on either side. What about prayer? Some people over here don't pray. Well, they may say, bless me, my wife, my son John, and his wife of four no more. Amen. I mean, that's about all they say. Or God laid me down to sleep. Amen. But over here, if you're not careful, say, well, I'm going to pray. God wants me to pray. Now, I better watch what I say here, but I know some people who've got long prayer lists. And they're noted for being prayers. And I've been around them. And they used to bother me when I was a lost preacher. And I said, I don't understand this. Why is his attitude not right? Because he hadn't got his prayer list prayed through by 10 o'clock in the morning. And he got irritated, and nobody around here, okay? I can say it. But he get irritated because he didn't get that prayer list prayed through. Nothing wrong with having a prayer list, but you see, I've got a prayer list and I've got to pray through that prayer list every day because everybody expects me to. They know me as a man of prayer, therefore I've got to pray through it. Rules and regulations motivated by law, liberal legalism. Why not pull up in the middle of the road and let God speak to my heart and God burden my heart and God put those preachers on my heart, God put those evangelists on my heart, and God put those lost souls on my heart? If you're not If God doesn't burden you, you won't pray even if you say words. Amen. You say, well, God had me to do something else and I just didn't get my prayer list done. Praise God, you're in the middle of the road. It don't matter. He wake you up in the middle of the night and maybe wants you to pray for somebody. Amen. I woke up the other night with some man on my heart. I don't know what he was going through. I talked to him. He's already gone home down there, but I woke up with him on my heart. Didn't know nothing about what it was, but I had to pray for him. Amen. Been praying for him ever since. Don't know what it was all about. And he didn't know exactly what happened that day, but he said, I was going through some trouble about then. Amen. Oh, in the middle of the road about prayer. And I'm not going to deal with it in depth, but we need to realize we can get in either ditch on either side. And in that thing of worship. Get on this side over here about worship. Get in the ditch of liberalism about worship. Amen? You say, what? Some people say, well, it don't matter where we worship, we can worship anywhere. Well, that's true in one sense of the word, but what they're meaning is, I don't have to go to church. I can do what I want to do when I want to and however I want to. They really don't worship. Because, see, worship's a birth experience. Amen? Obed means birth. Or worship was a birth experience. Over here, those legalism. Our Father. Amen. We now turn to what the bulletin says, to number 492. And it's been printed a month in advance. We've got to find out what we're going to do next month because the printer's got to have it 3 weeks before time. What if God moved in? What if the Spirit of God moved in and worship in the middle of the road? Amen? And he said, shout! That bunch over there would have a fit. This bunch over here looked like he had a wild eye. Amen? talking about in the middle of the road, in liberty, doing what God said. Somebody come to Camp Zion and said, you have a bulletin printed up? I don't work that. We got notes in the pocket. We print them ever, just before we get up. We print our announcements. Amen. Amen. I mean, you mean, well, you say, we're talking about liberty. Just do what God says. Somebody said, who's going to preach next? I don't know. Amen. I doubt if Brother Ray even knows exactly to tell you the truth yet, because God hadn't told him. Amen. He may have, but I'm saying liberty in the middle of the road about worship, about prayer, about the Spirit of God. How about the second coming? People over here on this side in the ditch. Liberalism over here. He's not coming. Amen. He's never coming, or he's already come. That's just a bunch of hogwash, them amillennials and all that. I don't know what all's over there, but you can move over on this side and have rules and regulations and nail it down to a point at a time. But oh, we need to pull up in the middle of the road and realize what he said, the grace of God in Titus 2. For it teaches you to deny ungodliness and then to teach you to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, and to teach you to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Amen. Whenever He comes and splits the eastern sky, the Holy Spirit of God will jump up on the inside, like Eliezer told that day the bride, whenever Isaac come out, said, that's him, and glory to God, we'll be airborne whenever it is. Amen. In the middle of the road, in liberty. But what happens many times, we get over here in legal liberalism and we put it up in the second gear and put the metal to the pedal to the metal, pull over into legalism. Figure it all out. Thank God for Him. Amen. Keep your bags packed, but your tools just don't. Amen. He's a coming. Amen. I'm talking about in the middle of the road. In the middle of the road. Now, I'm not going to deal with too many more specifics, because the Holy Spirit can zero in your heart. He can point to the place where you're in the ditch. You see, you can be in this ditch in one area and this ditch in another area at the same time. And at the same time, be in the middle of the road in another area. But there's one more area I want to deal with in specifics. That's in the area of salvation. Folks, we're in a mess in America today because we've gotten a ditch on salvation. Amen? Oh, you see, this crowd over here, this liberal crowd, says it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Heard about a man one time who got up in the middle of the night. He got up in the middle of the night and had a headache. And he didn't turn on the light, and he went into his medicine cabinet, reached for the aspirin bottle, took a couple of aspirin, went back to bed. Woke up the next morning dead. You say, why is that? He was sincere. He took aspirin. But when they found what he'd taken, there was some bottle of strychnine pills in the cabinet, and he'd got the wrong bottle. But he is sincere. Man, he is sincere. He had no idea he was taking strychnine pills. What's happened? Many people over here, though, sincere preachers, it's all right, leave them alone, they're all right. They've loved Jesus all their life, or they've walked an aisle and signed a card and shook a preacher by the hand. I'd rather sign the barn door and shake a mule by the tail. Amen. You know why? You'd be a lot better off. You might get your teeth kicked in, but at least you'd be able to get over it and wouldn't be deceived. You sign a card and take it to the preacher by the hand, the devil give you a time to place, it'll be hard to get away with unless the power of God moves in. Amen? Oh, sincere! One church is good as another, they say. Who told you that? Not even one Baptist church is good as another. Listen, if a man, somebody asked me the other day about a certain evangelist on the radio or television, and he said, what do you think about it? I said, I'm going to sum it up pretty quick. I said, if a man's wrong on the virgin birth and the gospel of Christ as far as salvation is concerned, I ain't going to listen to anything else he's got to say. Amen. He's wrong on the gospel of Christ about how Jesus died, was born, was died and dead, rose again. We don't have to listen to anything else he's got to say. Amen. Because one church is not as good as another. And if your church don't preach truth, I'll tell you what, you're in a mess. You need to lift up the truth. Now, somebody says, be good. They hear a funeral message about some people, and you'd think there's the greatest saint ever lived. And they was meaner than the devil. I heard that happen one time. Preacher got up and preached the funeral of the man. And
Somebody went running up over after it was over and looked in the casket. Said, thought he's talking about somebody else. I there for a minute. You knew he didn't live like that, amen? Somebody else says to be baptized. Amen? Some of you know what that is, amen? If I believed that, I'd sing Water Fellowship, amen? Water Fellowship. I'm talking about liberalism, motivated by love, just if it feels good, do it, or whatever, it don't matter, just be sincere. But over here, we get in a ditch of legalism about salvation and getting this canned plan deal. Or this lockbox soul-winning deal where we got it all locked up in a little package, amen? Say, well, are you want to die and go? When you die, are you going to heaven? Well, are you saved? No. Whether you die, you want to go to heaven? Yes. And well, let me tell you, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:12, right down the road, Romans 10:9, and put it all in the can plan. Now they say, repeat this prayer after me. And then they get out and they say, now, repeat, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Help me to live a better life. Help me to live a better life. And save me. And save me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then look up and say, are you saved? I don't know. Well, now look here. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You called on the name of the Lord, didn't you? Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you like it is, and many of our churches and some of you right here got run through the canned plan that way, amen? Legalistic. Motivated by rules and regulation. And then they'll say, well now, right here it says, if you call on the name of the Lord, and I heard you call on the name of the Lord now by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're saved. Preachers, you don't know that man's heart. You don't know what spirit is. I'm not saying it's wrong to use the Roman road. The Roman road will work if the Spirit of God works, but if you put it in a can plan or in a lockbox soul winning plan, I'll tell you what, you liable to make them twofold more the child of hell, and they'll live like hell all the days of their life, and the guilt and condemnation and no joy. I mean, death comes upon them, and death to a church. But get out of that ditch and get up in the middle of the road. We lift up Him. The Holy Spirit of God begin to work. Oh, He'll give light. He'll begin to give light to a man and let him see that that man is... There's a God, first of all. That seems elementary in America, doesn't it? But whenever the Spirit of God illuminates a man to let him recognize there's a God, he can step in light. And if that man will step in what light he's got, God will give him more light. And if he steps in that light, God will reveal to him that he's a sinner, that he's Lord. That he's a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. Glory to God, that's more light. Amen. And then as he steps in that light, God will bring him to the fact that I'm lost. No man's going to get saved till he gets lost. Amen. And then whenever he steps in that light, God lets him recognize the gospel of Christ, the word, the truth. And when he steps in that light, I'll tell you what, God begins to reprove a sin, as you talked about, that sin of unbelief. He begins to convict. And draw, no man can come unto the Father except to be drawn, amen, to me except to be drawn by the Father which sent me. And as he steps in that light, God begins to draw, godly sorrow begins to work, and he gets down to the place, he comes to the end of himself and cries out for mercy. I'll tell you, I think about old Jonah, and I know that's not salvation as far as the spiritual sense, but old Jonah's a pretty good type, amen. You think about it, he got in the belly of that whale, and for 3 days and three nights he was in there. You read it and you'll find that at the end of the 3 days and three nights he cried out, salvation is of the Lord. You know what he was saying? I believe all that 3 days and three nights he'd come to the place and he'd got every gut in that fish and tried to get his head out of there. He'd unwrapped that seaweed around his neck. He'd come every place. He'd tried every avenue, every canal in that whale. So finally he said, he gave up. And he said, God, now this is what he really said. God, if I ever get out of here, you're going to have to do it. If you ever deliver me, you're going to have to do it. Yeah. Right up on the bank he comes. Amen. Amen. Why? Salvation's of the Lord. Amen. In the middle of the road. Motivated by love. I'll tell you, when God gives you that light and you begin to come to that place, I'll tell you what, He'll throw out the invitation to you. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and buy. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The Spirit of the bride says, come. And all that cometh in Him, He'll no wise cast out. Amen. When He calls, amen. Oh, it's that road of life. There's that talk in the middle of the road in liberty. You don't get it over here in this lockbox soul-winning plan or this can plan, amen. Where everything is set and you use one on one and one on another. Listen, you'll find Jesus never did use the same plan on anybody.
Nicodemus, he told him, you must be born again. Why did he tell him that? Nicodemus was depending on his first birth. And he said, your first birth not good enough just because you're a descendant of Abraham. You've got to be born again. He told the woman at the well, there she was out there. He dealt with her sin. She didn't back off. She didn't run. She just stepped in a little more light. And she looked up in the mountain and said, here's where we worship up here. Dealing with her as far as what she is worshiping. He said, listen, you worship you know not what. Well, times are coming and now he is. When you must worship God, Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? He dealt with her need where she was at. The rich man came and said, what must I do to be saved in essence? You know what he said? He said, go sell what you got and give to the poor. Why? He's trusting in his riches. He dealt with every individual where they're at. Now, he's the all-knowing God, and some of us in our soul-winning plan need to come to the place to find out where they're at before we begin to try to deal with them. Amen? If we don't, we'll get in the ditch, and they'll get in there with us. And come on in down here. The weather's good, little mud and snakes and spiders and broken glass, but come on in. We're not careful. That's what we're doing. Oh, let's get out of the ditch and get up in the middle of the road and go for God because we love Him. Because we love Him. Amen? Getting our priorities straight. Amen? I can remember as a young boy. Young boy, one day, driving a car. I come over this hill a little too fast and there's a car sitting down there and I had to swerve it to the right. When I did, I hit the ditch. Got in the ditch. It's night. I throwed that thing. That's when they had the straight shift more than they have now. It's up on the panel, you know, back in the Dodge days. I don't know what I had, but it was back then, daddy's car. I throwed that thing up in second gear and I slammed her down. And that ditch was pretty deep. Brush and everything else. So smacking the side of the car. Man, all at once I found a place I had enough steam up. And I run on down there a piece and all at once I come out. And I almost got in the ditch on the other side. And I swerved back and forth a time or two and I got it stopped. You know what I did when I got it stopped? I sat there for a while. Amen? Now you listen to this. Sit there for a while with fear and trembling. One day I crossed out of the ditch of liberalism. Crossed over and got in the deep ditch of legalism. Now I mean like a four-wheel drive truck. I'd do it back and forth. I'd look at them up there and I'd say, my. What are they doing? What they're doing? Throwing mud. Y'all getting this? Back and forth till it got so deep it was impossible for me to get out. You know what? It's impossible for any of you preachers to get me out. Amen? But thank God the Holy Ghost of God threw down the winch one day and said, son, get home. He winched me out. Amen? You get in the deep enough, it's going to take a big old winch truck to get you out with a car, amen? It's going to take the Holy Ghost of God. I don't care how deep you are. Praise God, He'll winch you out. Amen? He'll get you out! And listen, when I got up in the middle of the road about last January, here's him standing there. I preached this in the Myrtle Baptist Church a while ago, and right while I was preaching it, God showed me that's right where you at, son, right there, and I was sitting still. Somebody said, what you going to do? I don't know. Amen? Available to do what I need to do when I need to do it for His honor and glory and surrender to it, but I don't know. Fear and trembling. Now, you look what it says here in verse 1 of Galatians 5. He said there in verse 1 of Galatians 5, stand fast in the liberty. For as Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Man, it's a narrow road. Nothing else, this thing is built where I can stand, though, unless you see it and remember it. Amen? Narrow road over here, and the ditch is right over there, and I look back down in there and see where I come from and where He winched me out of. Amen? Brought me up. Stand fast. Don't be entangled in the legalistic things of the world. Then look, there's another warning. It said in verse number 13 there, he said, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty.
Only use not liberty for an occasion to flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't be entangled with a yoke of bondage, but oh, don't use the liberty you got in the middle of the road to be give you an occasion to get back in that liberalism and sin because of lust. Folks, you ever get in the middle of the road and God get a hold of you? Fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Now, verse number 16 said, look what it said in Galatians, verse number 16. This I say then, when he said, stand fast after you stood fast. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what? I can add to it and not really add to it. You'll not get entangled again in the yoke of bondage either. But he said, walk. He didn't say run. He said, walk. You ever see a baby take off walking full steam ahead? I'm just a baby. Glory to God. Just a babe. Amen. One day, though, Paul, he said, run the race. Amen. One day, God would say, move on out, son. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Oh, glory to God! Hallelujah! One of these days, God's going to let you run! Glory to God! I mean, God's going to let me do it! And first, but walk, then he'll let you run. Amen? Glory to God. Now, some of you are in the ditch today. You know God's fingered in your heart. He said, you're in the ditch. I can't do anything. But you're over there in that liberalism. You may have never been saved and God's convicted you. I don't know where you're at. God does. But I've got news for you. He's got a winch to pick you up. Winch you out. And set you down. Maybe in the ditch of legalism. He's got a winch. Pick you up. Set you out. Now, listen. One day I was in a truck coming home from college. And I blew my Ford pickup truck. I was coming home after I was married. It just come a rain on that little gravel road. And I mean, I was a scatting it. I wanted to get home. I come around the corner on that slick road. Before I knew it, I could see what was going to happen, so I just turned it straight off in the field. Just went out across the ditch in the field. Devil put slick spots on the middle of the road. You got to be careful. Amen. The devil put some slick spots, and if you try to run before you're ready to run, before God allows you to run, gives you that hidden radar to see those slick spots. Amen. I mean, you know, some pilots fly with visual. Some's got that other stuff, that instrument flying. I don't know all about it. And go through clouds because they got radar and things. Spirit of God give you radar for some stuff. You may shake, but oh, I'm satisfied to be where I'm at. Oh, I got a longing. You got an itching. Amen. To be where God wants me to be. But don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't use it for an occasion to lust of the flesh to get back in that ditch, but stand fast. And then God said, walk. Oh, you may wobble and stumble and almost, but he'll get you back out. Amen. But if you're not careful, even while you're trying to get in the middle of the road, you get in another ditch. Paul said, I've died daily. Folks, when you're dead, it don't matter what people say. Now, the amazing part about it, when you're walking down the middle of the road, man over here throwing mud on you. Look at that fellow there. I tell you what, ain't he a liberal? A legalist? If I ever saw it, he's a legalist. You just keep walking on down the road. This legalist gets over here and he said, look at that fellow in the middle up there. Look at him. If he's, that's not a liberal, I never saw it. They'll do it. They'll do it for you. Amen. You see that? They'll get to the place to where you want to quit. Amen. You're not careful. But you know now, listen to this. Get in there, let them sling the mud. You know you're where God wants you to be.
You may stumble, but all because of Him. Because of love of Him. God, I'm going to keep on going. Amen? You ever seen an elephant walk down the road? And a bunch of ants over on each side. They just keep spitting. How long do you think that elephant stops to worry about it? Is that right, brother?
Amen.
Let them spit. Let them holler. Let them throw mud. Glory to God. Amen. Just keep it going, and one day you run for the glory of God. Amen. And be what God wants you to be. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Some of you in the middle of the road. Not in the middle of the road. You're in a ditch. Holy Ghost to God, the only one going to get you out. I want to give an invitation. Let you come right now. Preachers, you may say, well, that's my church member. You analyze where you're at. Your church is never going to advance any higher than where you're at. If you're in a ditch, your church is not going to get out of the ditch till you get out. Will you come as we sing what number, brother? Before we sing, let me just pray. Father, I pray. First of all, I just thank God that you let me get out of the ditch, God. Oh, God, help me to stay out of there, God, by your grace. And I know if I stay out, it'll be because of you. I love you today, Lord. I pray for these in here today, God, that you'll deal with their hearts, that they'll get out of the ditch. Holy Ghost of God, you've got a leech ready to pull them out and set them in the middle of the road. And God, may they step there with fear and trembling. God, there's some that's lost in a ditch about the way they got saved. Help them get in the middle of the road and be saved. Liberty be set free because of you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.